Dancers have a lot to balance. From their pirouettes to their jumps, a dancer's performance is a direct result of hard work and motivation. So where does food fit into this? There's a lot of myths and a ton of antiquated ideals about what a dancer's diet should look like. And I'm here to dispel those. I'm Rachel Fine, registered dietitian nutritionist and founder of To The Point Nutrition. I'm the dance nutritionist, and I'm here to tell you that to be a successful dancer, you don't have to diet. Instead, I'll teach you how to use food as your best tool to enhance your performance. A nourishing meal plan not only fuels your dancing, but also enhances your strength, improves your balance, supports your flexibility, and most importantly, reduces your risk to injury.
Thanks for having me.
I figured we can dive right in. I'm excited to pick your brain and just grab some insights for you.
I'm in the second company at Kansas City Ballet and Cracker Season. So we will have our first Snow and Flowers rehearsals tomorrow. And then this past weekend, we just wrapped up the North American premiere of Val Canaparelli's Jekyll and Hyde. So that was super cool.
What do your day-to-days look like? So if tomorrow you're really diving into Nutcracker rehearsals, I'm sure it's going to be like a fast track to December.
So we have classes, just morning technique class, from 9:15 to 10:45 every morning. And then we have a 15-minute break before rehearsals start at 11. And so we'll go 11 to 2 with a 5-minute break at the end of every hour. And then our lunch break is an hour from 2 to 3. And then 3 to 6 is the rest of rehearsals with, once again, 5-minute breaks at the end of each hour. You never know. You're probably not going to have time to drink water in the middle of rehearsal. So I like to drink water, not too much, but just enough so I'm hydrated. And then I like to do a super quick snack. Like, I'll have a bag of plantain chips. I'll snack on some of those on the break. Or, you know, just a granola bar, a fruit strip. I like those little applesauce pouches. I would think my favorite is apple strawberry, actually. So just any super quick snack, a tiny bag of cashews. Mm-hmm. I like to do that too. Back in a little protein.
I love hearing that you're taking advantage of even those really short periods of breaks, because many dancers will try to avoid that, actually, which I don't recommend, because when you have such a long day, like what you explained that you're having now, especially with Nutcracker coming up, you have a lunch break, but relying only on breakfast, lunch, dinner to fuel you for that much dancing is honestly not usually enough. So we have to take advantage of those mini snacks. In the conversation I just had on Monday, having a snack almost every hour on the hour.
I agree. When you get to that hour lunch break, it just doesn't feel like enough to stay actively fueled. I know that if for some reason I don't snack on the hour, by the time I get to lunch, I'm just ravenous. And then I don't have enough energy. That last hour before lunch, it's just really a slump. Your brain isn't there. You're not picking up the choreography, and you're just thinking, like, when's the next time I can eat?
Absolutely. That cycle. We kind of enter that cycle of where we're feeling, we're going on extremes of what I call the hunger fullness scale. So we go from feeling super famished to ultimately then feeling very full, because while you're eating, you're so hungry that it's really hard to actually just eat mindfully, and you're kind of just making up for and repeating yourself. So when you're having those small snacks leading up to that mealtime, it's also setting you up to actually eat more slowly, more mindfully.
Because when we're in the theater, like we just were the past 2 weeks, class won't be until noon. So then it kind of just shifts everything back, and you want to make sure you have a good hearty breakfast. Depending on if it's noon or later, I'll have a lunch before I start for the day, or I just have a more substantial snack I try, especially like a little yogurt drink or something after class to get me to that dinner break. And then I try to have especially proteins, fats, and carbs in especially that dinner break, because that I find is more important when it comes to going later in the night. I like to have more of a hearty meal in between rehearsals or before the show.
Yeah, getting in that balance, right? Those multiple components. And like you said earlier, taking advantage of basically any break you have to assess how your body is feeling. Most often when you are in performance season, or for some of our younger dancers in competition season, which I know you have a history of competitions also, YGP. So when you're in that mode and, you know, those weeks, it's so easy for the energy depletion to add up. So if you're not staying on top of it and making sure you're repleting with just constant meals and snacks, it's so important. Which brings me to my next question. What would you say, it could be that, would you say there's any other major challenges?
The biggest challenge is making sure that I stay fueled. Because like I said, the show normally in the evening isn't gonna start until 7:30. You're probably not gonna be finished until 10. I'm not getting home until 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. And as much as you just want to let your head hit the pillow and go to sleep, you still need to fuel and replenish everything that you just, you know, exerted on stage. So I think the biggest challenge in the height of performance season is making sure that even when you're getting home late, you still have fuel. So what I am working on and like doing, especially during a heavy show week, is I like to meal prep, especially my dinners, because that's where I fall off the most. Because like I said, when you're getting home that late, you the last thing you want to do is cook dinner. So I like to meal prep. This time I did like a chicken pesto pasta with broccoli, because it was, you know, something that I can make a big batch of and divide. And once again, it had a lot of carbs, protein, and I still had my veggies in there. So I think that's the biggest challenge. And so meal prepping, I think, is how I combat that.
Yeah. You know, having that proactive approach that I often talk with the dancers that I work with, because it's obvious that not planning ahead is going to cause us to fall into issues when we have our extra busy days. And meal prep can be really challenging for dancers in of itself, because like you said, the times that you are home, it is very tempting to want to, you know, just obviously maximize your time to maybe rest, veg out, and do nothing, which we should all be doing. But at the same time, we do want to make room to set ourselves up for the upcoming week. I love hearing that you're prepping things like pasta, you know, really carb-rich meals. If there's anything I want younger dancers to walk away from this chat, it's the importance of carbohydrates, because a lot of dancers do fall into restrictive food rules. And unfortunately, foods rich in carbs, foods rich in fats are usually the first to go.
Starting like really young, before I was even dancing or taking it seriously or anything of that nature, was just in terms of eating, making sure that you can have everything in moderation. At a very young age, like that was always something that she drilled into me. And so I can easily carry that into my career now, in that there's so many foods that I just love. Like I love a good burger and fries, anything kind of fast food. I like sweets, and I find myself not necessarily craving them, as long as when I do get that craving, I honor it. So especially after a show or something, if I'm really craving, you know, some chicken fingers, I'm gonna go get them, because I feel like it's better to just indulge at that point and then have something a little more mindful later on. So then I'm not just always craving that other food.
Yeah, you know, that's definitely a testament to the idea of cravings in general, right? Cravings are just going to be driven upward the more and more we don't honor them and we let them go. And very often what dancers don't realize is that when we do honor our cravings and when we are fueling our bodies consistently is the big one. Consistently means you are having various meals and snacks throughout your day. You're preventing being on those extreme hunger and then ultimately extreme fullness. So when you are what I say, supporting appetite regulation, you are better able to naturally eat more fun foods in a more mindful way, you know? So it kind of all fits together really nicely, like a puzzle. On that note, I would love to hear about how you incorporate balance into your life in general, because it sounds like your schedule is incredibly busy, incredibly full of dance and being at the studio.
It's a really tough career, and it can really, burnout can come so easy because of just how immersed you have to be in it. So in terms of balance, that's something that I've been working on, especially for the past few years. I think I started towards the end of my training, and so I carry it into now. And one, I always like to come home and have some kind of TV show that I just am looking forward to watching when I get home. It has nothing to do with ballet, and it just is a way to take my mind off of whatever happened at work that day. So right now I love The Morning Show on Apple TV. Super great. Ted Lasso also
Oh
on Apple TV.
yeah.
And then I even like to
So
watch
good.
like Love Island, so there summer. So just something completely outside. It has nothing to do. And then I also take college classes online. So that's once again an entirely different mindset to be in. And so it's a challenge to juggle that with rehearsal schedules often, but I just try and take advantage of my days off and when I come home. So I would say those are two really big things I do for balance. And then also just hanging out with friends, getting outside and doing normal young people thing.
Yeah, I love that. So again, so easy for our younger dancers and pre-pros to want to put 200% into their training and their performance. And you know, obviously we understand that it does take a lot of grit and motivation and drive to with dance, right? Because we can very easily fall into a comparative mindset with other dancers. But when we are not prioritizing building other experiences in our lives and we do land ourselves in burnout, it's almost like, what was all that work for? You know what I mean? Yeah. Have you ever experienced instances of burnout that helped you to realize how important balance is? Or would you say it was more you've just had really great support from early on that, you know, instill these beliefs in you, because it sounds like you have a really, really great perspective
I
career.
experienced burnout probably when I was about 16 to 18, just because that's, towards the end of your training, I feel like it gets super intense and there's just so much pressure put on, like, now's the time to start making next steps and making sure that you're committed. And so I will say that after, especially, I was still competing at this time, YAGP. And I mean, I know that I was putting a lot of time into rehearsing for the competitions and getting ready, especially right after the competition is when I feel the most burned out because it's just so much leading up. And by the time it actually happens, then it's kind of just like, now what? So I would say those were times of burnout. And I think not having regular outlets is what led to me feeling that way. And so that's why I started trying to incorporate more balance and just not as much thinking about it as in order for me to dance, ballet has to be everything. That's when I started to get the mindset that, it can still be very important and you can still put a lot of emphasis and time and effort into your craft because that's necessary. But it can't be just the only thing going on, because that's how you get burned out.
Yeah, absolutely. Your perspective is extremely refreshing. And a lot of dancers will benefit from hearing these messages. I love hearing how you were able to learn from the experience that you had, especially coming from a highly competitive environment like YAGP, right? And being able to cultivate a perspective that is basically saying, you know, I need to put my effort into, I need to put a lot of effort into this, but I also need to think about my own self, whether that's, you know, actions of self-care, like you said, spending time with friends, spending time away from the studio, watching TV that requires no external brain power, all beneficial things. So I would love to hear, this is a bit of an overarching question, but I ask it to everybody on this series, how would you define what it means to be the healthy dancer? Because the word healthy in our culture is extremely, it's extremely limited, right? We usually, how the lay audience will define healthy, it's usually within just a two-dimensional lens where you fit into this mold or you don't fit into this mold. And the purpose of these conversations is so that I can speak to so many different dancers and gain perspectives on their individual personal redefinition of what this means.
Someone who is strong, someone who is capable, someone who's well-rounded, and someone who's passionate. I think that those are the most important aspects that go into making a healthy dancer. I don't think that things like size or height or anything of that matter dictate what's a healthy dancer and is not, because we're all, you know, blessed with beautiful bodies and they're capable of all of these things, no matter what they look like. And so I feel like being a healthy dancer is much more about the things that you put into it and the things that you put in outside of that. Because I think a healthy dancer is a healthy human. Because you can't, you just can't put everything into it. At the end of the day, it's just ballet. Like, there are more serious things. And I remember one of my teachers said that to me, kind of in my period of burnout, that at the end of the day, it's just ballet. As much as we want to put so much into it and obsess over making ourselves fit into a mold to be able, in our eyes, to exist within this art form, none of that is really necessary or is going to be healthy for you down the line. What's more important is being a healthy human and making sure you have a good mindset towards it. Because if you have any kind of negative mindset or restrictive or anything of that sort, it's eventually the thoughts are going to eat you alive and you're not going to be able to continue. Because especially when you actually start to enter the professional world, there's just so many other people who are all capable. They're all as hungry and as eager as you. So you have to make sure that you don't let all of that consume you to the point where you don't know who you are as a person. You don't want to lose yourself in the art form. And I think that's something super important to portray, that a healthy human is a healthy dancer.
Yeah, wow. I love that. That was really a beautiful, again, perspective on how dancers can really embrace their individuality and how, despite what industry pressures might try to dictate for dancers, challenging those norms and keeping true to yourself.
You want to make sure that you're confident in who you are as a person, because our job is to portray other things, to portray other people. So you don't want to lose yourself. You don't want to lose yourself in, you know, the hunt. I would put it that way as
Right.
well. You don't want to lose yourself in it.
Absolutely. Lauren, thank you so much for this beautiful insight tonight. It's been such a pleasure connecting with you. I love all of the thoughts that you brought to the table, and I think that for all of the dancers out there, such a wonderful perspective. So thank you so
Of course.
much.